Well, my name is Tim Raines. I'm a director in trustworthy computing at Microsoft. Today I will be giving you a short introductory briefing on the Security Intelligence Report, Volume 13, that was released at RSA Europe 2012. This particular version of the SIR is large and comprehensive. It's actually over 800 pages. We have deep dive data on 105 countries. And of course, data from over 600 million systems and some of the busiest online services on the internet. So it's pretty comprehensive. We'll be talking quickly about vulnerability trends, exploit trends that are very interesting this time out, as well as malware potentially wanted software. And we have a feature story on what we call deceptive downloads, because we're seeing a severe trend around attackers using social engineering to target people looking for free or heavily discounted software out there. And so very quickly, if we get into the deceptive downloads section and data in the report, what we're seeing is that a threat called KeyGen, which is a generic detection for key generators, so software activation keys. When you use trial software or you have free software or even pay for software, there's a lot of folks out there that don't want to pay for it or want to use it after the trial's done, or are looking for free versions of software that's regularly paid for. Oftentimes they need to get a software activation key that's valid, that unlocks the software and allows them to use it. And so what we're seeing here over the past 2.5 years is the growth of this type of software and where we're detecting it around the world. Initially, it was just a few key markets like the US, Korea, Spain, even the UK. And we saw detections of KeyGen sort of trickle onto the top 10 list of those in those areas. What we've seen since the first half of 2010 is the growth of those detections. And now, in fact, we detect KeyGen in 98% of the countries that we report on. So it's actually 103 out of the 105 countries. KeyGen is now in the top 10 list of threats in each one of those countries. And so what makes this concerning is a KeyGen is actually, there's kind of three scenarios that that we see KeyGen being used in. One is you're looking for a key generator that'll give you access to software that you have. You go up to a download site, you download it, you run it. It's just a key generator. You got lucky. You got a valid key and no other, gifts, if you will, from attackers. Another scenario is you go and you find KeyGen, you download it, and you run it, and it turns out to be a Trojan. And so it's a fake KeyGen just designed to infect your system. And then in a third scenario, you go and find a KeyGen, you download it, you run it. The KeyGen is just fine, but it's bundled with other malware that now infects your system. And then actually, there's a fourth scenario where when you're going to the sites where these KeyGens are being hosted, you're actually being exposed to drive-by download attacks. And so, the point here is that going and looking for these KeyGens, downloading them and using them is actually pretty risky. You might ask, how risky? Well, in 76% of the cases where we detect KeyGen now around the world, we find other malware on the same system. And so it's actually pretty high. We've seen KeyGen now, I mentioned, become one of the top 10 threats around the world. In fact, it is the number one threat in the first 6 months of 2012. We found it on more systems than any other threat that we look for. And so that's, to put some numbers on this, that's over 5 million detections of KeyGen in the first 6 months of 2012, which is larger than some of the other threats that we've talked about in the past, like Conficker or the Black Hole Exploit Kit, or even adware like PornPop. And so KeyGen has emerged to be a pretty significant threat around the world. And so, KeyGen isn't something that you have to be terribly worried about. If you're not going around looking for these key generators, you're probably not going to come across it. That's cool. The other thing that you need to know, though, is that attackers are also using the same tactics around music and around video. And so when we look at some of the top file names that we see people downloading that are either KeyGen, music or video, you kind of get an idea of, you know, what attackers are doing and how they're trying to fool people into installing this stuff. So, for instance, we've got things like AutoCAD, AutoCAD 2008 keygen.exe, Neuro Multimedia Suite.keygen, .exe, Adobe Photoshop, Call of Duty 4, Guitar Pro. There's a bunch of, very popular pieces of software that they're trying to get you to download. So, and they're fooling you into thinking that you're getting a keygen, that's valid, that will unlock these packages. And in fact, you're getting malware infections. The problem here again is that 76% of the time, that's of those 5 million systems I mentioned, that's 3.8 million systems, we actually find other forms of malware on the system besides just the keygen. So you're either downloading the malware or you're being exposed to drive-by download attacks on those pages where you're getting keygen from. So some of the categories or families of malware that we find most often with keygen include auto-run worms, PornPop, which is adware, the Black Hole Exploit Kit, and DorkBot, which is a worm. Obviously, exploits like Black Hole are related to drive-by downloads that try to take advantage of unpatched vulnerabilities in Microsoft software, Java, Adobe, and so on. So just going and looking for this software, downloading it, you're actually being exposed to several different ways to malware. All right, so now moving on to a few other key data points from the new Security Intelligence Report, Volume 13. One significant thing that we saw in the first half of 2012 is vulnerability disclosure counts going up. So they've actually gone up for the first time in quite a while. We've seen a downward trend in vulnerability disclosure counts since 2007, 2008, so over the last 4 or so years, there's been a nice steady decrease in vulnerability disclosures across the entire software industry, and that actually has been reversed with a slight increase here in the first half of 2012. Now, in the first half of 2012, the difference from the second half of 2011 is about 11%, so an 11% increase in the last 6 months. One thing that is a little concerning about this is that these disclosures also are in high severity and medium severity vulnerabilities. And so if it was just an uptick in low severity vulnerabilities, it probably wouldn't be that concerning. But we are seeing an uptick in high severity and medium severity vulnerabilities as the total number of disclosures goes up. The other thing that's also concerning about this trend is where the vulnerabilities are going up, the type of software. And so we break it down inside the Security Intelligence Report into three categories: applications, browsers, and operating systems. And we clearly see that the increase in vulnerability disclosures is in applications. So there's been a lot of attention and focus put on browsers and operating systems recently from different manufacturers. And when you look at the disclosure numbers, really the area for concern is applications. Now moving on to exploits. So exploits are for me far more interesting than vulnerability counts. So vulnerability counts, it's good to know what's going on, but they really kind of sort of represent, the theoretical worst case. If all vulnerabilities were the same, so what exploits do for us is actually show us what attackers are actually trying to exploit. So which of the vulnerabilities are actively being exploited. And this past 6 months has been a very active period for exploit activity. In fact, I don't remember a period of time where I've seen more exploit activity and more exploits make them into the top 10 list of threats that we find in different countries around the world. So the two areas of growth that we've seen are in the volume of Java exploits that we've seen and the volume of HTML JavaScript exploits that we've seen. And so Java exploits have been on the rise over the last several quarters since the third quarter of 2011, and have been increasing quarter on quarter during that period of time. Most of those exploits that we see are old vulnerabilities that Oracle has patched as far back as 2008, 2009, 2010. So we did see one new vulnerability in 2012 that, when it was disclosed, The volume of exploit detections that we saw against that vulnerability was quite steep. And so if there's any new vulnerability, attackers are jumping on it very, very quickly. I also mentioned HTML JavaScript exploit activity. This is much higher than the Java vulnerability or Java exploit detections that we've been seeing. This is because the Black Hole Exploit Kit essentially allows people to create a web page that hosts, you know, many different exploits. And if the victim isn't patched for each one of the vulnerabilities, you know, that there's exploits hosted there for, then the victim gets malware downloaded onto their system. And so the level of HTML JavaScript exploits that we're seeing is quite high. The second half of 2012, it actually went down for the first time in three quarters. And so that's good that you know, those exploit detections went down, but they're still at a level far above, you know, even where we see Java. And so in that second quarter of 2011, we saw more than, you know, 3.5 million detections for HTML JavaScript exploits out there. In terms of drive-by download attacks, you know, once upon a time it was all about iframes and iframe attacks. And with the Black Hole Exploit Kit, now we see that, you know, the level of JavaScript attacks is far, far higher than the malicious iframe. So the malicious iframe volume that we saw in the second quarter of 2012 went down below, you know, a million detections for the first time in a few quarters. But unfortunately, the level of JavaScript exploit attempts that we saw are way, way higher. They're, you know, just below 3 million detections in the same period of time. So it's something for people to be aware of. Now, on more positive news, we saw Adobe Flash Player exploits go down. In fact, they went down across the board. And these types of attacks typically are, I send you an email with an attachment, like an Excel spreadsheet. It's got some Flash Player exploit built into it. You open up the spreadsheet, and then you get owned. And so what we saw here is probably stemming from really good changes Adobe made to how they update and keep Flash updated in the ecosystem. And so there's less manual intervention required on behalf of the users now. So Flash is probably being updated a lot more now than it was in prior years. And I think because of that, we're seeing the exploit detections of these exploits go way down. So I think that's positive news. In terms of top exploit families, you know, I mentioned Black Hole Exploit Kit is at the top of the list. You know, in any given period, we're seeing now in the last couple of quarters, you know, between 3 million and 2.5 million exploit attempts or exploit detections, you know, every 90 days. And so that's a kit that's very, very active right now. We also see a number of Java exploits out there. CVE 2012-0507, CVE 2010-0840, CVE 2011-3544, CVE 2008-5353. So, you know, attackers are clearly targeting Java because it's a ubiquitous piece of software. And so the guidance there is, you know, you got to keep all of your software up to date. If you have side-by-side installations of Java because you have different Java apps installed, you got to pay close attention to that and make sure that all of those apps are being updated properly. Moving on to some key findings around malware and potentially unwanted software, we saw a huge increase in the malware infection rate in Korea in the past year. In the past 6 months, it's gone up very, very high. So what we're finding in Korea now is for every 1,000 systems that we scan there using the malicious software removal tool from Microsoft, we're actually finding 70 that are infected with malware. That is the highest CCM, or computers clean per mil, that we've ever published in the Security Intelligence Report. So Korea is proving to be a very, very active place from an attacker's point of view. Other places that we also saw that are active but at a far lower level are Pakistan, the Palestinian Authority, Turkey, and Albania. All of these places have malware infection rates, or CCMs, substantially above the worldwide average in the second half of 2012. There are some regions that are doing amazing work to stay to continue a long-term trend with relatively low malware infection rates. So places like Japan and Finland continue to have some of the lowest infection rates in the world. Denmark, Switzerland's on the list now. So some of these countries have done a very good job at maintaining low malware infection rates around the world, far below the worldwide average. So the worldwide average in the second quarter of 2012 was about 7 systems infected for every 1,000 we scan. The places I'm talking about here range between, you know, 1.4, 1.5, up to as high as, you know, 1.8, 1.9. So very low compared to some of the other places that we talked about. In terms of prevalence of different malware categories that we see in different parts of the world, you know, I mentioned Korea. What we're seeing there is a couple of threats. One of them is categorized as miscellaneous Trojans. It's actually rogue security software, fake antivirus software. We continue to find that in large volumes in Korea, as well as a Trojan downloader and dropper that we found there called Pluzox that we don't see in very many other regions of the world right now. And that is responsible for, you know, a large number of infections in Korea right now, driving that high malware infection rate that I mentioned quite high. Other places like the United States, we're seeing large volumes of rogue security software, as I mentioned earlier. Fake PAV is actually a family of rogue security software that has increased significantly in the United States and a few other markets. And so inside the report I mentioned, we have a deep dive on 105 countries, and I'm sure that you can find the country or countries that you're interested in the report and take a look at what the top categories and malware families are for each one of those regions. In terms of the global top 10 families that we see out there across the world, I mentioned KeyGen earlier. It is easily the number one threat at this point that we're seeing installed on systems out there. KeyGen itself isn't a threat because it is a key generator, but again, when you go and look for these key generators, you really are exposing yourself to increased risk through either malware being bundled with the KeyGen being a Trojan, and or you're going to sites that expose you to drive-by download attacks when you go to download these key generators. So at this point, you know, in the second quarter of 2012, we saw, you know, 4.78 million detections of KeyGen in just those 90 days. So pretty extreme at this point. And that's sustained over the last 3 quarters. We've seen over 4 million detections of this particular piece of software, of this family of software. Auto run worms levels still very high, 3.5 million detections in the second quarter of 2012. Black hole exploit kit, we saw, you know, 2.794 million detections of that particular kit in the second quarter of 2012. We also see components of drive-by downloads like iframe ref, which is, you know, essentially a generic detection for tags that lead people to malware hosting sites. And so we see those going up significantly, almost 2.5 million detections in the second quarter of 2012. One other thing I've seen creep up on top 10 lists now over the past couple of years is YMAD, which is a Trojan downloader. I mentioned music and movies and so on earlier. This is an example of a Trojan that targets people looking for free music. And so it's, you know, the volumes are getting higher and higher, almost 2 million detections in the second quarter of 2012 alone. In terms of EU countries, since I'm here in the EU, I thought I'd mention a few countries that we see that have interesting trends. The place that has consistently the highest malware infection rate in the European Union is Romania. It continues to have, you know, trend around 15 systems infected for every 1,000 systems that we scan. So Romania is high. The only other two places in the EU where malware infection rates are higher than the worldwide average are Poland and Bulgaria, which are both just above, you know, hovering around 8 systems infected for every 1,000 versus the worldwide average is about 7. So one thing that we saw in the last Security Intelligence Report, Volume 12, that we published was an increase in detections of the iSty or SpyEye, another name for it, a kit that targets financial institutions and banks and, you know, and so on. And so we saw that threat go up, detections of that threat go up significantly in places like Germany, Austria, and Italy. Good news is since then, that spike in detections in those regions has gone back down. And so those places now go back down to a more typical malware infection rate that we've seen in many periods past, among the lowest in the world. And so that's good news that those threats have now been contained. The most notable threats in the EU, black hole exploit kit, still sort of the number one threat in the EU and trending up. KeyGen, also there at almost very similar levels amongst the numerous EU countries. And then adware like PornPop and Hotbar start coming into the mix. And then I mentioned WiMAD that focuses on or targets people looking for music. That, you know, rounds out the top five threats in the EU all up. In terms of service packs and operating system infection rates, you know, we've seen the infection rate for Windows XP Service Pack 3 is now at 9.5 systems infected for every 1,000 that we see. That is the highest infection rate of any operating system or service pack level that's supported by Microsoft today. And so if you get onto a newer operating system like Windows Vista or Windows 7, you reduce that significantly. In fact, it's almost halved. So you get down into the 3 to 5 range of malware infection rates on those operating systems. One new thing that we did in this report for the first time is we actually published malware, the top malware for each operating system and service pack. And so, you know, I talk to a lot of people that run businesses or organizations that say the report's great. We see what the global malware is. We get insight into the kinds of threats that we should be paying attention to. But it would be even better if you just showed us the threats that run on the systems that we maintain within our organization. So we run Windows XP Service Pack 3. Can you tell us the top threats on that platform, for example? And so we've given that, we provided that breakdown here in Survey 13. And so, for example, the top threat on Windows XP Service Pack 3 we can see is iframe ref, which I mentioned earlier, is essentially tags that lead users to malicious websites where malware is downloaded onto their system. Number two for Windows XP SP3 is Pluzox, which I mentioned is the Trojan downloader dropper in Korea, driving that malware infection rate very, very high. So it's interesting to see that that's the number two threat on Windows XP and certainly the threat that's driving, you know, malware infection rates in Korea. So some interesting patterns and data emerge when you start to look at some of these things that we've put into the report. All right, and so that sort of rounds out a summary on the key findings of the Security Intelligence Report Volume 13. You can download the report, the key findings summary, as well as deep dives for those 105 countries that I mentioned. And we've got some video content up there as well, all at Microsoft.com/SIR. Thank you very much.